Welcome to another edition of To Homer and Back, the official podcast of Streaking the Lawn. My name is Pierce. It's just me and Caroline tonight. Caroline, how's it going?
Hey.
It's good. Good. I like that we're doing a two-person tonight. It makes it more like all those obnoxious ESPN shows, and we could just yell at each other back and forth and say stupid things.
You get to be Stephen A., though.
Well, the thing is, that was awful. All right. Anyway, we do have a lot to talk about, that's for sure. It's been a couple weeks since we've chatted, and a lot has happened with the UVA football team.
Yes, that is true.
Season podcast. I'm sure anyone listening to this knows, but they dropped the opener to Richmond in pretty unimpressive fashion, and then lost on the road to Oregon. In not impressive fashion, but certainly more optimistic fashion, playing against a world-class team in Oregon. They looked much better. They covered the spread. They did some good things on offense and maybe some good things on defense.
Yeah.
And they certainly lost by fewer points than the Hokies did when they played Tennessee, the world's largest collection of redneck football fans. But anyway... Why don't we talk about UVA sports? What Caroline, I'm curious, what do you see as the big changes between or in the team between the two games?
Yeah, so full disclosure, I went to Oregon, so I got to see the team live both games. So I think the biggest thing is the attitude. I think the first game there was a lot of there's a back and forth. We always do and joke about effort and trying hard, but definitely no lack of effort in either game.
Sure.
But you kind of see body language in the first game where almost you could read panic. Like the guys, I mean, Richmond's a good team. They played a great game. Richmond played phenomenally. Like I was very impressed with Richmond. Their quarterback is top notch. And you know, fumbling the opening kickoff doesn't get it off to, you know, the great start.
Sure.
I think it was their first time with the ball, not the opening kickoff, but you know what I mean. And I think there was just, and Coach Mendenhall talked about it after the first game, that the attitude on the bench was lacking from where he wanted it to be. And it's part of the thing that he's talked about with saying the first thing we have to do is change the culture. I think there was a lot of leftover culture in the first game where they saw the same stuff happening again, even if it was in a different way. Like, oh my God, are we going to lose our opener? Like, there's maybe a hint of, are we going to let the fans down, ourselves down, the new coaches down, like the kind of self-doubt and everything that goes with that. At Oregon, down to the very last whistle, that team was amped on the sidelines. They were amped on the field. They played a little chippier at Oregon, not in a dirty way in any way whatsoever, because I hate that stuff, but they were celebrating plays and high-fiving their teammates and trying to hit every gap on the run game. Like, it was really impressive to see some of the, they lost by 18 and it was still, those kids were working their butts off to the end. And I appreciate that, you know? So I think that was the biggest thing, and that will affect the offense and the defense and the special teams.
Yeah.
And the rest of it.
Well, Oregon executed for sure on offense, and
except on their run defense.
There's clearly there's clearly a talent disparity there, but you got to give Oregon credit for being able to do what they were doing, and not just because they have guys who are faster. They made some phenomenal plays.
Absolutely.
UVA still is. I mean, from the Richmond game into the Oregon game, still struggling. A, with giving up the big play, and B, doing it on third and forever.
Yeah.
Well, really third and anything, but including third and forever. And that's stuff that can't happen if you want to have any hope of beating any team, whether it be Oregon or Richmond. I'll certainly give Richmond credit, like you were saying. They're a good team, but there's no excuse for UVA to lose to Richmond ever. You know, if that's the state where we're in because we have a new coach and the, you know, the line is not deep, you know, or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. There's no excuse for it whatsoever. But
there's no excuse, and this would be the situation in which I could see things aligning to make it happen.
Yeah.
It's not like it wasn't, what was it, 2009, losing to William & Mary? Like, that's one of those, like, what?
Right. It doesn't mean it's impossible, obviously.
Right. It's not impossible, but there should never be a situation where it's excused or...
Right.
You know, and I do think that I 100% agree with you on that.
I do have a question for you about the maybe some surprises. Were you surprised by the amount of true freshmen on the field?
I was. Because
I was.
And I won't talk about one of them now because he's. I think I'm going to bring him up a little bit later if we get to a discussion about something I want to talk about. But I think that they've been doing pretty well. And I do think there was a huge jump between the first week and the second week. And I will say on defense, because, and I know people are going to be like, you're crazy, you home, or whatever. That's fine. But seeing them, like, even on that 3rd and 36, which was so painful to see, like, I understand, like, that, it hurts so badly to think you get that great stop. They did stop them on the first drive, which was awesome. They were so close in some of these situations. Like, so close. So, like, that was almost broken up. Like, if there's a picture, there is a picture out there of the pass to the receiver on the 3rd and 36, and the defender's hand is in there between the body and the ball. It was just a really, it was a really nice catch by the receiver, and it was a nice pass. And so it's one of those, like, it was a 3rd and 36, but it's not like the dude was wide open. And there were other ones where, you know, fifth place hurdler, literally like the fifth fastest dude in the world in one of these races at the Olympics, like, outran our coverage.
Right.
Okay, you know what? You got me there. But it was a situation in which we're talking a matter of, like, that easily could have been, if we had a little bit better luck, I think, or a guy that's played maybe 4 games instead of 2. Like, and I don't know, I don't remember who the defender was, so I'm not saying it's just a first year, but I'm saying, you know, a guy who's new to the scheme or they're trying to figure out stuff. So I think it's, the defense looked like they'd simplified things, which made it a little easier. They're still overrunning tackles, which makes me nervous, because there were several times when it looked like we had Prukop dead to rights behind the line of scrimmage, and we just kind of, like, graze him, get him with the fingertips, and he was able to step out. And that's I think, will come with time.
Yeah, well, that, and that happened plenty in the Richmond game, for sure, too. How has this impacted your expectations for the season?
I still think they're going to make a bowl. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm still, like, because if you look at it, it's one game that they're behind. Like, they made a huge gap before.
Yeah.
So they just have to make up the Richmond game somewhere else, and they're on track. You know what I mean?
Like, that's true. I admire optimism, but that's already, I think, the bowl hopes were based on
getting that Richmond win. Yeah.
You know, they were already based on winning some games they're not going to be favored in. And obviously, if they're going to get to a bowl now, they have to win a handful of those, which doesn't mean they can't, but it means, you know, they've certainly really hurt or really added to the type of climb they have to make.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely tougher. I think in watching, I mean, this is one of those things with, I've seen on Twitter, and it makes me mad, which I should just, everything on Twitter makes me mad sometimes. But yeah. It's the, I know people will say, like, oh, you can't talk about football, you're a Virginia fan. Like because your team isn't number one in the country, you have no opinions on football or can tell what good football is. But I think I do feel a little bit better seeing that Virginia Tech leads the country in lost fumbles. Duke is second with 7. You know what I mean? Like, VT has 9.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. There's some games that look easier.
Maybe looked harder before any games have been played.
Right.
Like, Wake is 2-0. I get that. But neither of those games were particularly, like, stellar. You know what I mean? Like, and so that made me feel a little bit better about Duke. Like, maybe if we can take advantage of stuff. And I do feel bad for Duke in the quarterback situation, losing Cirk for the year. Like, you know, they're struggling in some situations. But also, those are road games. So where does that all play in? So it's tough. You know, you look at it and it is definitely tougher. But it's not doable. You know, and so I think for my mentality, I'm one of the ones that, like, I'm going to go each game, and until there are 5, you know, until there is, it is not physically possible to make a bowl game, I will still be like, they can still do it. Like,
well,
I've seen weirder stuff. Like, I'm a Red Sox fan. They were down 3-1 to the Yankees. You know what I mean? Like,
it's that's happened once, right? Ever in the history of baseball.
But it happened in basketball now, so now we've got some, you know, I was kidding. But, you know, I just think, like, yeah, it is, it hurts. It does. It would be great to be 1-1 right now.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing is getting that first win to get that confidence and get the guys a taste of winning, like, under a new coach.
Right.
Like, get everybody that excitement in the, and get the fans to stop saying, like, well, they're going to go 0-12. Like, get out of here with that. I don't want to see that.
Well, it certainly means the UConn game is all the more important. And I think any of us would have said that their bowl hopes were largely dependent on it before losing to Richmond. So yeah. I don't see how you can lose the next two out-of-conference games and really have any realistic... Like, I mean, for the sake of argument, if they drop UConn and they somehow drop Central Michigan too... And
oh, world
hurt.
Is a
good team. I mean... And, yeah. There's no way they're going to go 6 out of 8 in the ACC. So if they beat one of them, let's say they give it to the Chippewas, it's a home game. Central Michigan already had their upset over a big a major conference team. Then if they still lose to UConn, that's still needing 5 wins. You got at Duke, maybe. Pitt at home. Pitt's very good, but it's at home, and you know we've beaten Pitt at home recently.
Yeah,
UNC at home. Ah, Louisville, no chance. I mean,
but I won't be I there. I'm telling you, that's like
Louisville. Louisville might run this conference. Like, don't be shocked if that happens. I mean, obviously FSU and Clemson are very good. At Wake is winnable. Miami, who knows? Is probably winnable. Yeah. I don't think at Georgia Tech is winnable, but.
Bronco is way better with the triple option than any of our other coaches.
This defense, unless there's a massive, massive turnaround upgrade in how they are approaching assignment football, that's just a terrible matchup for the learning curve that this defense is going through now.
Tough.
Anyway, all of it is going to be a learning curve. And then I think the Hokies are probably... of the conference games, I guess at Duke right now they look like a mess, and maybe at Wake because they're still just not that good. You would put the Hokies as the next winnable game.
Yeah.
Except that all those three games I just said are road games.
So, and how do we do on the road, Pierce?
Well, UVA hasn't won one since 2012. On here before. So, I mean, that's an absurd amount of, going on for me to feel optimistic. You know, I obviously, maybe they go on a run. Maybe they win at UConn, win at Central Michigan, or win with hosting Central Michigan, and win at Duke. All are winnable games, so it's not out of the realm of feasibility that they'll be 3-2. And then you're, I think, looking for the optimism to come back among the fan base, certainly among the Pierce-named fan base for sure in terms of...
Yeah, I think they need to be at 2 wins before that bye week.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. Like, I think it's possible, like you said, to do 3. I think it's, you know, we were talking about this earlier today, but favored-wise, I don't think they'll be favored in any of the games. But that being said, I think there's going to be a lot of, like, 55-45... that kind of thing. So it's none of them are going to be as bad as like what Oregon was, where it was like 91-9%. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, I see what you're saying. So you're saying there's a chance. Okay.
right. what would you think about Benkert so far?
I like him. Mm-hmm. I think he even said that his passes were a little off at Oregon. There's still some rust. But I think he makes good decisions. I know he's got three interceptions so far in the season. He had 2 against Oregon. One of them was more like a punt reception. So, you know. He does have a tough time with when they got sacked. Like, all of those coach said after the game was, like, on deep passing plays. Like, mm-hmm. when they're trying to establish the pocket for him and get him more coverage and run the route. And we're just not getting that yet with the offensive line. Because we've talked about before with, like, some of the depth issues and experience issues.
Sure.
I do think sometimes he, because of that, might step out of the pocket a little bit earlier than he has to. Just a couple times at Oregon, it wasn't something where I was like, he keeps doing this, but there were a couple times where he definitely had a second or two more, 3 seconds more, to kind of find his guy. But, I think that the designed plays for him are fantastic. There was a designed running play that was excellent. And I think
was very
I'd
nice.
Like to see more of those. Mm-hmm. And I know people are kind of complaining about the dink and dunk part of it. Like, oh, I thought we got this guy with the arm strength because you can throw really far.
Mm-hmm. But he did some of that too, though.
Right now he needs, like, until we can get him more time, like, you're going to see a lot of those 5 to 8 yard passes, which if you watch the Steelers Redskins game last night was pretty effective for a long chunk of that game. So I don't hate the short passes. I want to see stuff that if it's 3rd and long, I do want to see a pass past the sticks.
Yeah, of course.
Something that will drive me nuts. And I saw a few times where it was short of that. But I think overall, I think he's done a good job, an admirable job of what you're asking for. And the offense moved very well. And if he can continue getting running support like he got at Oregon, that opens up more the passing game for him as they try and crowd the box to shut down guys like Albert Reed. You know what I mean?
Well, that was night and day, the running game difference between the two.
Unbelievable.
And you're talking about a national championship contender as opposed to a, you know, FCS national championship contender.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was probably the thing I was most encouraged by. I haven't been discouraged by Benkert's play at all.
No.
I think they've been much more good than bad. And a lot of the bad, like you said, was relatively understandable, especially with the questions on the line. And the, you know, rust that's going to come with not having really played football in forever. So I've liked it. And I think it makes total sense. I think everything we saw in the practice reports, you know, showed us why he was going to win and then won the starting job. And you see that on the field, you see the arm strength. I agree that the decision-making has been strong, so far from him, but you got to have the running game, as you know, anybody would ever tell you about being able to throw the ball effectively. And they had it against Oregon, which was good to see. And they had it from a couple of guys. And really a little bit from Jordan Ellis. I still want to see more Jordan Ellis. I didn't realize he was hurt when I was watching the Richmond game. I don't even know if that news had come out for that. But anyway, he made a few appearances in Oregon and looked good. But everybody looked good. Although I still think we might as well just put Mizell in the slot and take advantage of Ellis.
I think it's going to be hard. I think he is a great runner. I think with the way that the offense runs, though, he's much more utilized. He's much more effective as in the slot. He's got great hands.
I think he could be
Receiver. Or you can receive and get yards under contact, all that stuff. But the way that Albert Reed was just churning down the field, like, it was incredible. And Jordan Ellis was great. Like, pick your poison on Saturday. It was great to see, like, night and day. And I know Oregon, that's been something that Oregon's been vulnerable to, but that was more than just vulnerability. Like, that wasn't just like Oregon couldn't do anything. That was like a combination. Like, their cuts were sharp. The running lanes were more open. Like, it was for an O-line that's been having some issues, or that were expected to have issues, they more than held their own in the run game against Oregon's front line.
For sure. Do you see some other bright spots for the 0-2 team?
Absolutely. This is the first year I wanted to talk about before. Hassis Dubois.
Yeah.
Not only fun to say, he's fun to watch play too.
Yeah.
He brought down some great receptions, and you heard his name several times, especially the second half. Like, it was just, he was a consistent guy, like I said, kept coming up in that game again. For Oregon. I really liked the way that he ran his routes and the stuff that he did. And you said Jordan Ellis, so I won't go more about Jordan Ellis, but I also think Oz is going to be big.
Sure.
Because I think that he's just one of those other utility guys that can do all sorts of things. And I really like the way he plays.
Good stuff. Speaking of first years, Jordan Mack played lights out. Probably the bright spot on defense. I mean, Wilkins certainly, you know, he's a monster. He's doing great.
I will tell you my favorite part of the game. I don't know if it was on TV. When Oregon, one of the times, lined up to go for two after a touchdown. I think it might have been the first touchdown. And we didn't know they were going to do that dumb thing where you, like, start in a field goal formation and then whatever. I hate that. Just stay where you are. Do what you're going to do. So when they spread out, he was out there across from their center and was like, oh, we're not ready for this. And just put his hand on the dude's forehead of his helmet and just lightly pushed him over.
Got the flag that they needed to pause it.
So he got the, like, offsides penalty, gave them time to, like, figure out, backed it up 5 yards. And it was just one of those great plays, like a heads up.
Heady play.
It was so funny. I laughed about that for like 5 minutes. And I will say Nick Conte is still MVP in my heart. So,
well, hey, you know, that's going to be important for sure. I don't know about most valuable or most important, but certainly very important for the team. I guess conversely, what is your biggest concern still going into them trying to get their first win?
third down defense.
Yeah.
I know that's like a really broad thing, but there were a couple, I mean, like the third and 36, like we talked about that. That just hurts a little bit. But like I said, I think that they're close on a few of the things. I think the tackling will get better, and that'll set up more third and middle rather than third and short. So hopefully that'll be the case there, and they just get more confidence and get more comfortable with the simplified schemes. Mm-hmm. That was kind of drawing back from what they were inundated with before the Richmond game. So I think it was this more simplified defense for Oregon. And I think that as they get more time with that simplification, they'll get more comfortable. And I'd like to see them get a sack.
Yeah.
Got really good pressure.
Yeah.
But just really haven't made a lot of contact with the quarterback yet. So
the line, and I know I said Wilkins is playing great because he is playing very strong football, mm-hmm. but they're not getting the pressure and they're not finishing those plays because when they do get the pressure, then they try and arm tackle a guy while they're falling over. And
yeah, just I think Chris Pete had a couple close, mm-hmm. close plays where it was like almost a sack, but then like you said, kind of momentum's carrying him one way. Mm-hmm. And they're just getting like fingertips on them, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, I think that brings us to our favorite new segment of the podcast, Defend Yourself.
We have to get a song for it.
Defend Yourself. No, I'll just do that every time.
Yeah. Now it's time for Defend Yourself.
All right.
Defend Yourself. Okay. Go ahead.
No, we've got it. We'll just record you saying it a handful of times. That'll be our theme for it. I think we can't let go your re-upping of this is a bit of a softball because I know the answer, but re-upping your upset pick of the Oregon game even after they lost to Richmond. Doubling down. I know you have nothing to lose except, you know, credibility, but and I already know what you're going to say is why you did it, but I can't let it go unaddressed. So how could you on earth put on record that UVA was going to win at Oregon even after watching them lose to Richmond?
I think it was a little bit of a Mike London thing where I refused to make in-game corrections. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know that I've picked against UVA on that on the Instagram, and I don't know that I have it in me to do that in a recordable thing so that someone could later come back and be like, mm-hmm. you didn't think they could do it. Like, so part of it is like saving face on, you know, to my, you know, many Twitter followers and wonderful listeners of the podcast. But no, I mean, part of it is like, hey, I said it was my upset pick. Like,
yeah.
What kind of wuss backs out now?
A rational one.
Also, I think there was still, I mean, they still, the same stuff applied, like where it was like nothing to lose, you know, maybe we were overlooked by Oregon. Like, I don't know. It was just kind of, I think the biggest thing is, I don't know if I could have that little CD block next to the other team. Oh, I feel like such a traitor.
Well, I will say if it helps you in your bravery that I've picked against UVA many times, they have won at least one of those games, I imagine. And no one has reminded me that I picked against them. So maybe you've got more, being a female sports writer on Twitter, I understand that everyone's out there to be an asshole to you, apparently. So maybe you've got more people looking to harp on you being wrong. But I think you can go ahead and take a chance, if you're feeling comfortable at some point. But you know, maybe it's not the UConn game. Let's just jump into predictions. If you want to go ahead and go first, what are we going to see this weekend up in Storrs, Connecticut?
Oh man. So like we talked about, this is going to be huge. I think it's very winnable. They lost to Navy last week. A couple not so great late game play calling, I think, for the Huskies, as they had mm-hmm. the ball in the one with 17 seconds left and weren't able to put it in on second down and ran out of time. After previously, I think they called their timeout after the running back went out of bounds. The clock would have been stopped anyway. But I do think that this is going to be, we're going to get our first turnover in this game. secure a turnover. Mm-hmm. UConn has had some issues holding onto the ball, and they've mm-hmm. really got, I think the biggest key is going to be focusing on, I'm blanking on his name right now, so forgive me. I'm having a dinner yet. I'm getting hangry. But their wide receiver has, like, I think over half their total yards. Like, he's the guy. And I think we'll have a little bit easier of a time with the running game. Coming off of Oregon, it might be nice to kind of be like, well, this is more like normal person speed as opposed to literal Olympian speed. So I think Virginia's going to win. I know.
All right.
Fries. And I think it's going to be something like, let's go 31-21.
31-21. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see. You know, it's a road game.
I know, right?
I just keep coming back to, I'm not going to fall for it until I see it otherwise. I would say a percentage of likelihood, I would put UVA is more likely to win. You know, call it like 60-40 or something like that.
Okay.
So I guess that means, because I think it is more likely, I've got to pick them to do it, break it. You know, they're due to have some things go their way to collect one of the fumbles they forced, if not a couple of them. And I do think Ben Kurt is you know, improving, and I think UConn's not very good. So I think it's entirely possible, if not likely to happen. I'm fine going on record saying that I'll be pleasantly surprised that I was right if they win.
Okay.
And I'll also pick a win. I'm going to go optimism with you.
Woo.
I'll say, 27-20, something certainly close. I don't think either team's going to score an absolute ton of points. So it should be interesting to watch. I think it's a good test because, again, they're going to have that resolve to get, you know, a road win and to get that first win on the year. Before we close up, why don't we do some quick takes on the basketball schedule that today. My numero uno fandom, but I'll let you go ahead and go first. What do you think about the schedule?
Oh my God, so excited. So looking at it, my first impression was just like, yay, basketball. And then I was able to look at it a little bit more, and it's definitely challenging. I mean, right out the gate, like the third game, they're playing, you know, hosting Yale, which
Yale's
tournament team last year, they're not necessarily supposed to be, you know, as good as maybe a few years ago or last year, but it's definitely a good challenge right out the gate, which I
love. It's at home, though. So, yeah. I mean, we've seen them play Ivy Leagues early in the season at home.
Yes. I would love it if Yale scored 9 points in the first half. But then, you know, Iowa will be the first big test.
Yeah, that's huge.
Memphis or Providence is a big game. So that Emerald Coast Classic will be pretty good to see. Yeah. That's over Thanksgiving, which will be fun.
I would think that's probably one of the more interesting and exciting early season tournaments UVA has been in a long time.
Absolutely.
With that lineup there. Especially if they get to play
Corpus Christi Classic.
I mean, it seems like we're always in the, like, backwoods Puerto Rico, Texas A&M Invitational or something. Yeah. I don't know.
I like the stretch with Cal and then Louisville. They're a week apart, which is good, but opening the ACC play on this side of 2016 is exciting.
Both of those games.
Both at Cal and at Louisville on the road, which is tough. And then it's a nice little, I think, a good stretch to start to kind of get their feet under them. But then once you hit at Notre Dame on January 24th, like, woo, put your big boy pants on because it's about to get real because we're going to national champions, Villanova, and that's in Philly.
Yep.
Hosting Virginia Tech, who is just outside of the top 25. Yeah, should be pretty good. Yeah. They return a lot of guys, and apparently Buzz knows what he's doing. But then at Syracuse is going to be circled, hosting Louisville, at Virginia Tech again, hosting Duke, at North Carolina.
That's a rough stretch there.
Hosting Miami, at NC State, and then North Carolina again. So we get the home and home with North Carolina, which I'm excited about. So it's just a huge stretch from the 24th of January to about the 27th of February. So
The first third of the ACC schedule is certainly much softer than the middle or end chunks, for sure.
For sure.
I mean, you get Wake, Clemson, BC, Georgia Tech all in a row. Not that they haven't lost recently to one or two of those teams. And, you know, at Clemson's never easy.
No. And apparently, I forgot. I thought he was like 50 years old now, but Jerron Blossom game's still there.
Yeah.
So
he's nasty in a good way.
I'd be curious to see, too, like what the chemistry looks like coming right out the gate because of the trip to Spain. So I think that's Tony's the best. He knows how to do this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, they have a coming first year class. And so this is great timing that it works out that they were able to take one of those overseas trips, because you only do them every 4 years. So I don't know if that's like an Olympics thing where it has to be on that fourth year, but it's
not. I don't think so. But I don't know.
Taking it now is great. But yeah, I'm excited. It'll be
awesome.
The ACC is going to be stacked. Yeah. So just like usual. So I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Good stuff. Well, I guess we can go ahead and close up for the night, but tune in and watch the Hoos, 1:30, ESPN3, internet to ESPN, I believe. And keep it locked to streakinthelawn.com for all your pregame, postgame, hot takes, quick takes, long takes, long firm takes. Until then, go Hoos.